But not nowadays. No, they don't kill you nowadays. Not in these days. Because they think what you're saying will fall on deaf ears. And they feel so secure that their game has been so tight. They have worked their thing out so successfully, so perfectly, that you can't do nothing but get the attention of a minute, very minute portion of the people. And that small portion will be of no consequences. That's what they count on. But they are wrong. They are wrong. And we know that whenever God and his plan intend for a thing to come about, the conditions for protecting that thing has already come about. Yes. So some of you all shiver and shake at some of the things I say. Some of you all, not all of you. I know many of you feel the way I do. You speak the way I do. You have no problem with what I'm doing. In fact, you identify as one in what I'm doing. I know that. And some of you are that are here, and you are my color. You should understand that we have friends and company from other colors. I mean Imam W.D. Muhammad. Have friends and helpers, supporters from other colors. Silent partners. Allahu Akbar. Yes, God's work is protected by God. And this is God's work. A sincere work done to change the pitiful situation of the masses of people is loved by God. Every man who stood up to sincerely do something to salvage the remaining life that is in the masses of people from the clutches, evil clutches of the world, God is with them. Always. So any of you all who have fear on you, understand. No, look, the best insurance is God. And I'm a living proof. I am. Not that I'm the only one, but I'm here. I might as well show you myself. I'm a living proof that God is the best insurance. Now, I didn't come to tell you that. So I'm not going to go into the details of that. All I say is go retrace my tracks. Study my life from child to now. Go question friends that I lived among, my neighbors, in the different parts of the city of Chicago that I live among. Ask them about me. Ask them what they know about me. And learn about me from them. Learn about me from my family. Learn about me from my wife and children. Learn about me from those who are with me now. And if you learn all about me and can't see that God is the best insurance, you ain't meant to be saved. And I'm not the only one. There are many examples like that. You can find men and women in the world that if you study their life, study their experiences and their trials and tribulations and how they have stood together. What I mean intact, together with themselves, in themselves. How they have kept their life intact and how they have survived situations that looked like it was hopeless. And escape the miseries that most people meet. Yes, escape it. Yes, the blessing of God. If you have a good heart, you have good intentions, you don't have no wickedness or no wicked purpose, God is with you. So you might not appreciate the philosophical views that I appreciate. But I think this philosophical perception is really what makes the difference between the living and the dead, the successful and the failure. I think that's what makes the difference. Some of us think that man wasn't great and didn't have great societies and didn't have great nations until modern science. The great world began with the philosophers. And the philosophers had great institutions of learning. And they also had industrial establishments. They had trade and commerce. Huh? They paved roads, built skyscrapers. A lot of us don't know that. You know, they didn't have 747, did they? Not that I know of. A lot of things that have been accomplished with modern science are really astounding, we have to admit. But 100 years from now, the things that we pride ourselves in being with may be of hardly any value at all. Just like the great monuments of ancient Egypt, the great science of the ancient pharaohs, their doctors and learned men passed away. How long do you think the great achievements of modern Western man will survive if his son sets? And it appears from every angle that the son of the Western man's intellect has set already. He's just struggling with a dying life. Yes. The hope now is in other people, the Asians. It should be in you. You haven't had a chance. Yes, the hope should be in you. Not that the white man is going to go suddenly down to the last step or the bottom rail. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is every sign points to the setting of their sun. That their light is getting dimmer and other lights are competing with their light, and from every appearance seem like their light is going to lose place to the light of other people. Already the industry have been eclipsed by Japan, Korea, and a few other small nations. Yes. In fact, the future for them seems so hopeless that they have already given up. Trying to keep leadership in industry for the American people. Yes, they've already given up. Their strategy now is to benefit from putting their eggs in many baskets, or investing in the international world and allowing the international world to invest in America. That's the strategy for continued life for the American society, right? That's the strategy. And if you read, if you listen to the news, if you're serious-minded, I'm sure you know that. So it's a new day and new opportunities. And unless the ignorant people, when I say ignorant here, I don't mean some of you are all much more intelligent than white people that's running big things. But you cheated. You cheated. He has a sense of reality and his place in it that you don't have. So his sense of reality and his place in it is a motivation in his life, and you need motivation. And all it takes is a pretty woman or a little dust in the nose, and the poor black achiever is finished. Because he doesn't have a motivation that's stronger as an intoxicant than coke. My motivation is stronger than coke. Coke ain't do nothing for me. That stuff is too weak. Should my sense of place in the cosmic reality and sense of place at home on earth, knowledge of my purpose, my aim, my destiny that God created me for, oh, it's so much more valuable, so much more important. Shoot, it places such value on my intellect that to take some dust and put it in my nose, to interfere with the normal functioning of this kingdom? Hell no! And devious nations, competing nations, they have always used human weakness to bring down their competitor. Competing nation will go and play and pretend to be paying homage to their competitor and bring all the pretty whores in the kingdom. And the leaders of the government that they're in competition with, they start getting up, go to bed with one of the whores, man, and never wake up. Or either they will sell them on habits, foolishness. You know, the Christian African American, if you look in the Bible carefully, you can come up with a lot of help for yourself. I read this statement in the Bible, and I said, how come more blacks are not giving this as a word of caution to our people? If they're Christians, they should be using it, the helpful guidance that's in their religion for their people. It's much better to, are you saved? It's much better for you than to ask me, am I saved? Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you love the Lord Christ? You know, it's much better for you to say something else than to say that to me. I don't love my mother. I don't love my father. I don't love my brothers and sisters. I don't love myself. And you come ask me I love Jesus. Pardon me.
Please be upon it.
So, I have all the respect for Christ Jesus. But not this poor image of Christ Jesus that the American public has. Oh, do you love Jesus? Have you been born again? Is Christ your personal Savior? We can help each other much better by saying, my people are destroyed by wine and song. Huh? Yes. And that's the truth. Entertainment, foolishness, wine, intoxicants, playfulness, songs and dance dominate the life of the black city man. Am I right or wrong? It's plain. You know, we don't have to argue about this. It's just plain. Everybody recognizes the truth right away. The black city man's life is dominated by foolishness. Foolishness. Entertainment. And dissipating pleasures. Dissipating pleasures. Pleasures that dissipate his valuable resources. That's what he's dominated by. Now, how in the world can we compete with learned society, with the new agents that's coming in? How can we compete with them? And they have great traditions, strong family traditions, strong disciplines in their life that dictate their behavior as a group, not as an individual only, but they got philosophy and discipline that govern their behavior as a group. There's a limit to how far the Japanese, the Chinese, and other races and nationalities as a group, there's a limit to how far they go in indulging themselves in this dissipating pleasure thing. No! They drink that wine very carefully and in small doses. But we live for it. We work 5 days a week. And to spend all our check on it. Now, I know you heard this before, but as long as this problem exists for the ignorant masses, we have to work on the problem. We have to address the problem. My people are destroyed by wine and song. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. These are sayings from the Bible. This is what the preacher should be saying. Preacher ought to come to his pulpit and say, amen. My people are destroyed by wine and song. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen. Pass the bucket. Let's go home. But instead, he's going to cater to your weaknesses. He's going to give you some church wine and church song and play it until you go crazy out of your mind. He ain't satisfied until you lose your senses and just go limp in your seat. Then he thinks he really preached. He did preach. See, preach is a reach. P-R-E-A-C-H. Preach is a reach with a P preceding it. It's a reach. And a blind man, he reaches. He reaches for the thing he reaches. But if he want to teach, he should just say, my people are destroyed by wine and song. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. People, God go with you. Amen. Pass the bucket. What is the aim in bringing this concept to you and trying to get you to feel, to sense your identity in the cosmic reality? The freedom for you in the cosmic reality. Now, See, you don't understand that this idea has practical benefits. God has said to man that he created the universe and he placed man in the garden. And he charged man to keep the garden. He made him responsible for that wonderful environment. He made him a responsible being in that wonderful environment. Don't violate the order of this environment, but compliment it. Don't introduce contrary things, but build upon the wondrous thing that God has provided. This is what God charged the man with. Put him in that wondrous environment. And he told the man that he had made all of these things for his benefit, for his service. He made all of these things. The Bible says that he put all of these things under man. Our scripture saves us from the pitfall in that kind of idea by telling us, no, God didn't put you over all these things, but God made all of these things to yield benefit to you. He has sakhara. He has made these things to yield their treasures, their benefits to you. The fish in the sea, the Bible says, right? The waters and the land and everything, the air and the things above. This is what the Bible says. And our scripture says, same, but without the pitfall. It even says that he has sakhara shams, the sun. We read about it. He has made the sun to yield its benefits to you. To yield benefits to you. And now we see it as practical. That's cosmic man. When God tells me that he made resources for me, as far as I can see, sun, climate, rain, fertile wind, plants, animals, mountains, treasures in the earth and in the sea. Allah says in this book, my God, my maker, says in this book, he made all of that to yinder, to render, yield, benefit, service to me. That makes me cosmic man. My field of resources extend beyond the earth itself. It's practical. Because right now, industry is trying to utilize more and more sun energy to get away from the problems of gas and other fuels that pollute the air. Pollute the land and the water. Huh? Okay, so a long time ago, before man even thought of that, there wasn't strong evidence of the practical benefits in that philosophical concept of man. In fact, we can't even say it's simply philosophical anymore, can we? You can't today say it's simply philosophical. Philosophical means it has wisdom, it has logic, therefore it has benefits. It has reality, it has relationship, it has place in connection with you, therefore it has benefits. That's simple way of saying what philosophy says. But we can't limit it no more to a purely philosophical concept. It has practical benefit, proven benefit. You need to expand your mind and accept what Allah says about you. Allah is our creator. Allah is our maker. We have to accept what he says about us. And Allah says more about Wahdatuddin Muhammad, more about Wahdatuddin Muhammad. Allah says more about me than Western science. Western science by me with the animals, with the monkeys. Some scientists say there's an evolution, an unexplained, change in the evolution of man up from ape and monkey. Some scientific viewpoints of Western man say that a freakish thing occurred, that the human being as we know the human being now is a product of a freakish thing that occurred in nature. So they say we are a product of a fault in nature. Now, isn't that kind of thinking the same that we find in the so-called true interpretation or true reading of the Bible? Man born conceived in iniquity, born in sin, not fit as God created him. Therefore, he has to be born again of the divine. He has to be God-man in order to save man. He cannot just be man and be a type for man's salvation. He must be God-man to save man. Oh, buddy, I'm telling you, this kind of stuff on the minds of people keep them servants. And don't look to me. I'm speaking nothing but what God has revealed. So here we are caught up in the entrapment, entrapped by white man's racial arguments. African Americans carrying a terrible identity problem, an identity crisis. He can't come up with a comfortable view of himself. I'm black, and he tries to live with that. Tell me, what is the difference in saying I'm black and saying I'm Negro? What is the difference? I'll tell you the difference. You're saying you're black and don't know what you're saying when you say you're Negro. Because Negro means black in Spanish. Right? Yeah, Negro means black in Spanish. So when we were calling ourselves Negro, we were calling ourselves black, but we were calling ourselves black without a knowledge. And why did we call ourselves Negro? Because the white man conditioned us to not call ourselves Africans. White man come over here from Europe, he doesn't say, I'm a white man. He doesn't say, I'm a white man. He only says he's a white man when the subject of white and black comes up. White man doesn't come over here and say, I'm a white man. He says, I'm a Caucasian. A Caucasian means that he traces his origin to the area in Europe called the Caucasus Mountains. And many of them white, just as white as the Caucasian, will not call themselves Caucasian because they are not from that area. They don't trace their origin from that. So most of the whites will not say Caucasian, they will not say white. When they tell you who they are, they say, I'm Spanish. I'm Italian. I'm Greek. I'm Yugoslavian. I'm Albanian. Huh? Yes. That's what they tell. I'm German. And when they come over here and identify over here on this land, German-American, French-American, Italian-American. Right? We the only ones with an identity that goes no further than the rainbow. Now, isn't that a fact? Therefore, Jesse can lead all of us. One leader. Jesse. Jesse is enough for me. Not to reject Jesse. I don't reject him. The Reverend Jesse Jackson, I don't reject him. I think he's very useful. Perhaps more useful to the media and the white man than he is to us, but he's useful to us too. So now we've narrowed the concept down, coming closer to the real field of influence, the field of human influence. Though our field of human influence is on the earth, that's where we will carry out most of our great tasks. Most of our great tasks and achievements will be made on the earth, according to God's saying. You know, even if we go to the moon, where was the feat accomplished? On earth. You have to accomplish the feat on earth to get to the moon. You see? So we may go out to the boundaries that God has invited us to go out to. And mind you, God also warns us. Say, any who seeks to feel or peep into the boundaries out there, if your intentions are not right, he has already set up guards out there, flaming stars or meters. Fire will strike you, will strike you, will come against you out there. Now, we know that this is to be understood or interpreted. Although we know that many intruders have been knocked down by shooting bodies, flaming bodies. So that happens too. In fact, science says that most of these bodies that are seemingly at rest in peace now in the cosmic reality survived great waves of bombardment from colliding bodies in the heavens. So there's another idea that we should come to that will make us stronger, prepare our inner condition for greater tasks out here in the world. And that is the idea that heaven itself was not perfect and not permanent. You know, it's very clear in both religions that heaven was created by Allah, but an adversary manifested in heaven and caused the fall of heavenly beings. Do we need to know that? See, we have these quick notions and quick ideas about things that ain't good enough. You got to listen to all that's being said of importance. Now, you want to go to heaven. But I don't want to go to heaven if the adversary is there, because I know what he did to the elect. And I don't think I'm an elect yet. I hope to qualify one day to be one of the elects. But I'm not an elect, so I don't want to go there if he's still there. But according to both religions, he's not there anymore. He was rejected. He was rejected and cast down. In our religion, God says, get down from here with that attitude. This is no place for you. See, I like that kind of religion. God is God in our religion. Don't have no Satan, no adversary putting fear on the heavens. Hey, what kind of behavior are you doing? This is the wrong place. Get you out of here. Now, that's God. I love God. If I'm going to worship God, I have to appreciate God. I have to respect God. I have to feel that God doesn't have any competition. But when I look at the Western idea and see how weird things have to be done by the righteous in order to survive the schemes and plots of the devil, it makes me think that the devil is a god equal almost to the god of Christianity. There they do. They make the god, the devil, almost equal to the god of Christianity. I don't feel that Christianity is your property. You were property, and they gave you their property, Christianity. We have to have the courage, the moral courage, to speak plainly and honestly to our African-American brothers and sisters. And tell you that you will never be dignified in the eyes of the world until you stop identifying as a Christian following the white man's idea of Christianity. You have to come up with your own insight into the Bible and into Christianity. And you have to save Christianity from white supremacy. Then you will be respected. But until then, you will not be respected. And the best bet for you is to return to the religion that dignified Africa and have survived over there to be the major religion, the most predominant religion on that land till today. And it will survive and enlighten the intellect of the African as it did once. It will survive till it does that again. In fact, there's already a reawakening of the African man, the Islamic African man. You hear about the great kingdoms of Mali, the great learning center of Timbuktu, the greatness of Ghana in the days of Mansa Musa. That's Muslim. That's Muslim greatness. That's no heathen greatness. That's no black Hebrew greatness. That's Muslim greatness. And if it happened once, it didn't happen again. Slave, separate from your yoke. Take off your shackles, please. It's only psychological. But there is a framework. There is a framework for keeping you with that faulty psyche. And the framework is white Christianity. That's the main element for your blindness. White Christianity. Oh man, white Christianity. Christianity ain't white. By interpretation, maybe not. And I ain't talking about white as light. I'm talking about real white. I'm talking about pigmentation-wise, skin color-wise. It's white. And not only is it white, it's racist. Not only is it racist, but it is a white supremacist idea that makes all the races closest to the white man in pigmentation, better than those distant from him in pigmentation. And the farther you get from his son of whiteness, pigmentation, the more you closer you get to inferiority of man. The man becomes more inferior as you go out from him. This is their idea. And it didn't come from science first, although it entered science. Early social sciences of America had that idea in it, that black people are inherently inferior. Social sciences had that idea in it, been documented, proof. But it didn't come by that way first. Came by the way of Scripture first. Misconstrued Scripture. They saw the sons of Noah as types for the races. And Ham had a son, Canaan. And we descended from Ham, the line of Canaan. We're the Canaanites, the black dogs. I'm not making any jokes. I'm very serious. Why am I very serious? Because this is the thing that has shackled your mind. This is the thing that has sapped yours, has dried up your initiative to compete with the white man in the world of excellence. This is the thing that hinders you more than any other thing. It's your world of reality, the context of reality that the white man has put you into. Where you feel grateful to him for opening up the church to you or for giving you his church. You feel grateful to him for letting you meet, become acquainted with Jesus. And Jesus that he gives you is the false Jesus. He is the temptation. He's the tempter, tempting you to come into the land of do-nothing. That's what I want. You know? Yeah. Oh, it sounds so harsh. Is it true? And if the truth is harsh, it must be accepted, no matter how harsh it is. Yes, he's a tempter, tempting you to come into the land of do-nothing. Put down your burden. Give up your worries. Just have faith in Jesus. Don't pile your treasures up on earth. Put it in the offering. Let it go up into heaven. You pile it up here, the thieves may get it. I'm telling you what they preach to us during slavery and after. Slave, obey your master. Don't steal his property. Now, whose interest is that? That's a stubborn slave master's interest written into the scripture. The Bible doesn't say that Ham was black. It says that Ham was Egypt. But it says he had a son, Canaan, right? Canaan, son. And he was cursed. Didn't say what color he was either. Said he was cursed to be a servant for his brothers. A hewer of wood to cut wood. And a toter of water to tote water and cover. So that's menial labor, right? That's cheap, unskilled. That's the lowest layer. Any old ignorant son of a gun can do that. Now, according to their Bible, they say that a whole people were cursed to be reduced to that level, where they are servants of their brothers, to cut wood for their brothers, and to tote water for their brothers. And then the Southern racist church came up and said that that was us. The black man. That's in their religion. And the Mormons just forgave us a little while ago, a few years ago. The Mormons say the blacks have suffered enough, so we're going to let them into our church. This is reality. But you can't break your allegiance. Well, suffer the consequences. Because time is running out. Time is running out. You cowards are going to face your day. Yes, yeah, soon. Time is running out. The shame of you black people. Know that the white man has captured your resources, has tied up your potential, have enslaved your very potential. Your spirit and your will all captured in the white man's false idea of reality that he gives to you. that exalts him and puts you down. You buy it, and when somebody try to break the grip of that slavery on your mind, you resist it and try to shut your mind and tune them out and think of everything to justify you being lost to that false reality that the white man gave you to keep you a slave. So you should suffer. You should suffer. The most despicable race on this planet Earth today is the black man. There's no people, not even the American Indian, that look up to you. Say, well, why don't you say us? Aren't you included? Hell no, I'm not included. I'm a liberated man. I'm not included. Any American Indian that hear me speak, he respects me. I mean, respects me highly. But a lot of our people, they do not respect you. No people want to take your place. Ain't no people on this earth, not even the pygmies of Africa, want to take your place. Why? Because you are an artificial creation of the white man. Created for work when they need you, and limbo. Yeah, work in limbo. Say, well, we don't need them now. Limbo. And you know what the limbo is? It's bending backwards. Limbo, limbo, limbo. And going under a stick. God creates you to use the stick as a staff. Right? Or you go under the stick. Backwards. Breech bird. Feet first. Head come out last. Now, I see we're not going to complete this today. So, the next occasion, we'll complete it. I'm going to try to conclude that this. I'm going to try to wrap it up at this point. So, I hope you've understood the philosophical value is not the practical value of seeing your identity first in the cosmic, unbounded reality. You know, the white man with his best telescope, or the black man, nowadays, they can use their telescope too. With the best telescope, they cannot find the boundaries of this cosmic universe. They look, the more they get a glass to look deeper or farther, the more they behold new wonders. So the Creator has overwhelmed the intellect of modern man. He subdues him. He goes. Encouraged him to think that way by telling him that he's a member of the cosmic whole and that the stars and the heavens and everything out there is his home and that God created him in heaven, conceived him, pardon me, in heaven, and then put him in the earth to be formed. Is that not the idea in religion? that God conceived him in heaven, made him in heaven, and then put him in the earth to find his destiny, his purpose, his fulfillment. His fulfillment. Yes? That's the idea. So man, according to God's vision of man, it was a cosmic man from the beginning. A cosmic man. I heard a scholar once say, at a university, addressing concepts, man's social concept from a religious perspective. And he said, you must understand that Adam was formed, made in heaven. That he was made in heaven. Okay, on that note, let's see if we conclude this talk on cosmic identity. We mentioned that from the cosmic identity, a cosmic place of man, he gets the disciplines for his life, for his survival. That those disciplines in his life that account for his form, the preservation of his form, and the progress of his form toward its purpose are cosmic-founded discipline. Now let's see, can we make that a little bit more understandable? Man gets his sense of perfect order from his perception of the cosmic order. There is no picture of perfect order stronger than the picture we get from the picture of the cosmic order. Allah speaks to that in the Holy Book and the Bible and in the Bible when he says how these bodies have been created and they follow set courses. Their courses are set so wondrously that man can direct his ship at sea by respecting the course of those things in the heavens. Huh? So man has benefited from the perfect working and order and courses of the heavenly body. He has benefited in the field navigation. Thank you. In the field of navigation. And not only that, not only on sea, but on land. If man, without any map, without any postmarks down here for direction, if he can see on a clear night the heavenly body, he can get his direction. He finds north, and if he finds north, he finds south. If he finds north and south, he can find east and west. Because if you face south, then you know to your right is west. To your left is east. If you're facing north, you know to your left is west. To your right is east. So if you find any one of those four directions, you can find the other three. Right? And the heavens will give you one of those directions. And not only the North Star, but there are other signs in the heavens to give you those directions. They told us the North Star. But there are other signs to give the direction. Long after the sun has set, the light of the sun for a long time is still making its presence felt on the heavens, on the sky. And you know where the sun sets is east. Is west. Not only that, there are northern lights that come up in the night. Northern lights. So if on a clear night, if you can find the northern lights in the heavens, they have a definite design. You will know that's north. So it's not only by the northern star. If there's a clear sky, there are many signs that can help us find directions from the heavens. But greater than that, the heavens are the heavens is the most, I would say, the most impressive sign of the obedience that God wants from his creatures. The sun gets up in the morning. It sets at night. It does that day after day after day and never complains. It has definite movements. It graces the east. It graces the west. On the horizon
of its rise,
and also on the horizon of its setting. Right? Over the year, it will make a bow to the north and a bow to the south. So Allah says, and he is the Lord of the two east and the two west. Huh? He is Lord of the two east and the two west. And the Christians say, and the sun crosses his own path. Yeah? Yeah, it makes a cross. It crosses his own path. Over the year, it will come like that, and then it'll go like that, and make a big X or cross in the heavens in one year. Yes. And they say that the cross is their version of the Passover. Right? Oh, you don't know that? Well, it's true whether you know it or not. Yeah, Judeo-Christianity. The Jews have the Passover, we have the crucifixion of Jesus, the cross. And by him you pass over. By him crucified you pass over. By the cross you pass over. And the Ku Klux Klan, they set the cross of fire and anger with you. They're angry with you. And they let you know, they demonstrate their anger by setting the cross of fire. To tell you, nigga, you don't know the meaning of this cross. It's a burning cross. It's fire. We the masters of it. You the blind sheep. Now, we know how to stack tearing wheat in you. We're going to burn it. Oh, they burn it on the cross. They know if they burn the cross, you know they'll do to us. They have no fear of God. They have fear of God, and they have knowledge of the cross. So they sit in the fire to terrorize you, but to speak a message of wisdom to each other. Yes? When Jesus was lifted up, he was lifted up into the toward the sun. Now we know that really scientifically, as you go up, the higher altitudes you're raised up into, the colder it gets. But that's not the picture that the crucifixion of Jesus gives us, according to their report. We know this is misinterpretation of Jesus' trials and tribulations. We Muslims don't buy it. The Quran condemns it. But I'm just giving you what they have given, because that's what has influenced your thinking and your behavior and your everything. So the Bible, it doesn't give us the picture that he was raised up to altitudes of coolness. It appears that he was very hot. That raising him up made him hotter, for he thirsts. He thirsts. And some preachers say they would even give him a drop of water for his parched lips. So they have the idea that he was very hot up there. And we know the Passover, the sign of the Passover, was the cross of blood on the door of those that were to be saved. Yes?
That's for the white man.
That's for the man that seek racial dominance. This is for the natural man. Black, white, or any color. This book is for the common man of all colors that will raise him from commonness to excellence. This is the book. All right. So, yes, getting back to the concept, yes, of the cosmic man identity. Another great thing we see as Muslims, that Allah has definitely revealed religion for us, and presented religion for us, In a form that brings us into harmony with the cosmic reality. We find that the Islamic model of life resembles the cosmic order. Cosmic order has a nucleus, and all of its smaller parts have nucleus. Yes. The nucleus for our solar system is sun. That's why it's called sun system, solar system or sun system. It's at center, and everything else is orientated according to that relationship with that center. All the family of planets, including Earth and the Moon, following too, though it is directly attached to the Earth in its orbital gravitation. So this is the cosmic world. So the Muslim has as the picture of its community life, a circle. The center nucleus of that circle is the holy house in Mecca, the Kaaba. We all orientate ourselves toward that Kaaba. And in doing so, we form a circle for the whole Muslim, international Muslim community of Earth. If you had the ability to comprehend the picture, which you do, but maybe your interest won't allow you to. But if you were in a situation to do that, you could easily see the circle of Muslims focusing on one central point and making sajda in obedience to God, but not in obedience to God by directing themselves to God, because God is everywhere. Yes, God is everywhere. You can't look. God is there. Yes, he's there. He's there. He's everywhere. Here, everywhere. You think created matter occupies space that God can't occupy? Do you think when he created the world, he created something to shut him out of space? If he's in a specific space, then he created a world that limited his space. Right? Yeah, now would God, the all-knowing, the creator, create something that would limit his mobility, limit his space? Oh, he can't be everywhere. How come he can't? You are everywhere. You shouldn't be. In your behavior and in your thinking. Now, God is perfect and author of all of this. How come he can't be everywhere? That's the limit of your intellect. The limit of your narrow intellect limits your faith.
see?
Cosmic man is intelligent man. When God first created man, he created an intelligence, not an emotional body. He created an intelligence. See? So really, faith is preceded by intelligence. And that's why the scholars in Islam, they know what God says. It is the learned that best follow the guidance. Yes. They're the ones that best follow the guidance. It doesn't mean that the sincerity of the ignorant is not equal to the sincerity of the learned. You can be sincere, but walking in the wrong direction. Doesn't mean that you're not as sincere as the learned, but the learned are best situated to follow the path of God, the guidance of God. God created intelligence first. He created a human being as intelligent. That's cosmic man. Cosmic man is man in his essence of intellect. Sense perception. Sense of order, etc. So we have a beautiful model of the universal order in the daily disciplines of Muslim community life. Muslim community and the community life. Prayer is the most essential duty, the most dominant activity in the life of Muslim is his prayer. Now we know the first principle or the first pillar of our religion is Shahada or Shahadatain, to confess the oneness of God and also to confess the office of his human messenger, not God man, human man messenger. You see, we know that that's the first, but that's a declaration that influences even our prayer. We pray because of that the belief in that. That pillar is what makes us go through this orientation of prayer. 5 daily prayers. Now, cosmic man inherited from cosmic order 5 senses intelligence. Intelligence. So we have 5 daily prayers corresponding with the 5 senses of man to tell us that man, all scriptures, if I've read them correctly, and in one way or another, tell man that there is a sacredness to his life, that there is a sanctuary of the human life, that he should watch, guard, be on watch for, to protect it against influences that may take it out of the holy and sacred form that God intended it to be in and to be kept in. Right? And watch. Huh? Watch. Keep the watch. And the Quran says, those who guard, that is to be guarded, those who watch over their own souls, etc., etc., right? So both scriptures tell us that. Okay, well, if you watch over the inherent worth of human life, pitch it in a simple house that all of us direct ourselves to, if you understand that house is a symbol of what is most vital to man as an individual being, and more importantly, as a society, our social community. If you understand it, house readily bring to our mind the first unit of social life. House. Home. There's a home, nobody lives in it. It's not for people to live in. That's not what it's for. It's there as a sign. It's there as a sign that the first house God created for you is yourself. Yourself. There, yourself formed. Remember that boy I mentioned earlier? I forgot his name, but I called him the Wild Boy. Yes. The Wild Boy of Avignon. He's aware of it. He has told us. That's the boy I'm talking about. Okay. I mentioned that boy earlier. How because he was not opportune, they had to have the opportunity to be associated with human models, he modeled himself after animals that he was associated with or around. Allah has given us a sign, a house. A house suggests not individual, but it suggests community life. It tells us that man as individual is formed by the situation of community. Man cannot form as an individual without a situation community. Been proven scientifically. So how are you going to preserve yourself as an individual? Keep before you community life. Community life. This world, when resources become scarce, when civilization becomes a burden on the planners, the policymakers, the city designers, etc., when it becomes a great burden because of overcrowding and not enough resources to get around everybody, what happens? They begin to alienate man from his own reality. They set influences in the culture to alienate you from your own reality. God has prepared for this and gave us the Kaaba, a simple house, as a symbol. And as long as we have this prayer orientation and understand that symbol as a symbol of man's unity and as a symbol of man's first identity, man is firstly a social being after he's a cosmic being. On earth, he's a social being. He's a cosmic being. Then God forms him, brings him to his fulfillment, to his purpose and reality on earth. In this home situation, he brings him there by way of social life. And the first unit of that social progression is home life. That's where our personality is formed. That's where we are formed. So a situation is needed. A condition is needed if we are to be formed in the body, in the identity that God wants us in on this earth. A situation is needed. We must have a social situation. And the most unestablished people socially is the African-American man. The appreciation for his social purpose is neglected at home and in the public. Other people have more social solidarity in the home and in the public. Therefore, they are more equipped to challenge and compete and defeat us. Our money is not enough. They could give, they could make all of us rich with money today, tomorrow. And believe me, the white man will still be over us. Until we come into an orientation that God intended for ourselves as social beings, as cosmic creatures. We have to come into that kind of orientation. Look, the sun rises and sets. It tilts its head to the north and to the south. Makes vows of sajda. Allah says, and the sun and the moon make sajda. Yes, do that. Huh? Yes, do that. They make sajda. And then he said, man, make sajda to your Lord. Huh? Direct yourself to this house and make sajda to your Lord. And Allah says, though you be scattered, though you be dispersed, you won't carry the burden, the heavy burden of diaspora, like the Jews. Says, because wherever you are, if you will just remember this house and turn you all toward this house. Say, wherever you be scattered, Allah will bring you together. So our unity, no matter how distant we are from each other, our unity is secured. Our solidarity is already preserved in that prayer orientation toward that house. This is the enlightenment that we need on self. You know, that's enlightenment on film. And when you see yourself, you know your Lord. Because you know good and thee well, you didn't create this cosmic order. And you can't master it. You know good and well, it birthed you, and you're going to return to it. You were just here for and gone. You know that. So if you will face that reality, if you will face the truth of your small place in this great cosmic world, and then appreciate the role that God has given you in it, you will become God-fearing. You will know your Lord. Huh? That's what makes me appreciate God so much. God, you made me a speck of dust in this cosmic world. I'm helpless. I'm born without my knowledge, and I die without knowledge. I come and I go in a fleeting moment. In a fleeting moment, I'm here and gone, God. But look what you have sensitized me with in this short, fleeting moment. Oh, you made me feel so wonderful. You've given me a place so big. You made the place of my nativity so big. You made the place of my death so big. Until I'm honored to live and die in the boundaries that you have set for me. Yes. I live with dignity. I die with dignity. And that's why Allah says in the Holy Quran, no, my prophet was never this despicable creature that they picture. He was honored at birth and honored the day he died. Huh? Yes. Honored at birth and honored when he died. There's no shame in dying. Shoot. A funeral scene as big as the cosmic reality? Shoot. I love life in it and freedom in it, but hell, death ain't gonna make me weep. And for all I know, my gene may survive in a particle of dust, and Wallace may spring up one day. Because God has given me hope. And the more I learn about the nature of this continuous order, a cycle of growth and death, the more I learn about it, the more I'm believing that a billion years will pass like that, and a change will come, and the combination of dynamic factors of the universe, and this man may live again. He may live again to see his Lord even better. Yes. The Lord that have given the common man that hope must have a way to fulfill it. The Lord that gave man that hope must have a way to satisfy it. So don't become so scientific-minded, so secular in your thinking, that you lose the promised faith in the promise of God. Yes, I live to have more opportunity to prove myself in the field of testing. That's this life in this world. So I could qualify for greater promotion in the world beyond, or in the time beyond, because actually the space will be the same space. For Allah says in his paradise is the space equal to the space of the heaven and earth. And he says that when they behold it, they'll say, this looks like what we saw before. Now, if you want singing and dancing religion, I can understand you walking away from here and not declaring yourself secretly or publicly to be a Muslim, if you're not one. But if you're not looking for song and dance religious, you're really looking for real religious, I cannot understand you walking out here. I don't care if you're a priest, a preacher. I don't care if you're the Pope. If the Pope was in here, I'd say, Pope, what's wrong with you? After hearing this, you're not going to declare yourself to be a Muslim? Say, well, you must like graveyard drama. You entertained by graveyard drama. You know, I have to find something over there that's holding him. And you know, mystery and spookism has a strong attraction when you don't have knowledge. Now, I'm not, don't say that man thinks the Pope is dumb. Now, I know he's extremely wise. I know that. They would not even accept him to be in that position. The bishops, cardinals, they wouldn't accept him to be in that position until they had proof that he was extremely wise. I know that. But if he would turn down this religion after he presented it like this, I would say, well, you must have a secret. You must have a secret commitment, and this thing you keep doing is an act. That you can't own of necessity for your situation. I hope the fear come off you, Pope. That's what I say to him. It must be an act, because we're doing telling. I know you cannot walk out of here and not be changed. But see, and this problem in self-view and self-identity, we're going to discuss at a later time, another time. But the reason why men of great knowledge, of great intellect, can continue to serve falsehood, and that's serving falsehood. Once you learn truth and you don't change before the world eye, you are serving falsehood. Yes. Now, you may be serving falsehood and truth at the same time, but that's double-mindedness, right? That's double-minded. That's deceit. That's weakness, cowardice. So we are going to talk about how man, in searching for the answer, the in reality for himself, become blinded by his own subject. If his interest leaves the big picture and gravitate toward the small picture, which is himself. You know, the Gnostics of Christianity, they misinterpreted Jesus Christ and his mission on this earth. Peace be upon the prophet Jesus Christ. They misinterpreted the mission, and they held the world in ignorance for hundreds of years before their people were enlightened by the insights of Quranic revelation, and then looked again to see if they had misread or misinterpreted or gone astray from the direction of the gospel. And they discovered they had. And there was Martin Luther born. The mind of Martin Luther was born. And women began to be respected. Women began to be accepted in society. Women began to be given the rights of education. The slave had to be liberated. Why? It took them centuries, 1,000 years or better, for them to rightly apply Christianity. Why it took them all that time? How come they had to wait for the liberation movement to be established on the peninsula of Arabia and to conquer darkness there, beat back Jahiliya, the heathenism there, and establish a civilization par excellence there before they come into an understanding of the real direction and the real application of Christianity for themselves? Why? They missed the mark. their ignorant, pious, Gnostic leaders missed the mark. They thought that Christianity was an exercise that to train man's divinity, his muscles of divinity, to bring him into God consciousness. So that's all what they were all about. And they thought that the few men with the divine spark was chosen to be the caretakers and the masters of the world and to keep the ignorant in check. Those who without that spark, keep them in check. Hold them in slavery. It was slavery. It was slavery. They had slavery for the masses. Common man was a slave under that Christian rule. And only those with divine spark, those that they considered to have divine spark, illumined intellect, illumined by the Gnostic idea, the Gnostic ideology, their perception of the Bible, revelation, of Jesus' light, the Gnostic concept. If you didn't have that, then you were common animal man, and you were to be treated as such, and not included in the circle of society, but used as beasts of burden. That was their idea. And their women didn't have the soul, the spark, so they weren't to be included either. They would just be used for procreation, but not to be given the dignity of the human being. It was just recently that they got the rights to vote in the United States. Huh? So now they associate us in our misery with women. Right? The plight of the woman and the plight of the black man. Slave and female slave. That's what they mean. Our former female slave and our black African slave. I hope I've been of some good to you today, some of you. So God willing, as we say inshallah, at the next meeting, we'll begin with man gravitating toward the narrow circle and blinded by his own illusions of himself and his importance, where that brings man down, but the worship of the one Lord brings him up. Assalamu alaikum.
As-salamu alaykum. Please be seated and give the imam time to leave.